We've all been experiencing that frustrating feeling in the past where your phone or laptop battery is running out just at the wrong moment. But how actually do batteries work? And how do we build better ones? That's what we're going to be finding out this week. And to kick us off, we've got with us Fiona Strobridge, who's from Cambridge University, and also Graham Verity from GP Batteries. So let's kick off with you, Fiona. First of all, what actually is a battery? How does it work?
So a battery is an electrochemical device. So it converts chemical energy into the more useful electrical energy. And it does this via oxidation and reduction reactions, which involve the loss and gain of electrons, respectively, which then go around the external circuit to then produce electricity. The three main components to make this happen, you need to have two electrodes, the cathode, the anode, and you need an electrolyte, which is ionically conductive so that the ion or the charged species can be transported.
So when I look at a battery, which I might pick up in the supermarket or take out of my alarm clock, if I were to open one up, what would I see inside?
One of the classic examples to look at is one that's used in most laptops, phones, tablets at the moment, developed by Sony in 1990. It uses graphite as the anode. So it's
so carbon, like a pencil.
Carbon,
lead,
exactly, which has the sheets of carbon, which the lithium get intercalated or inserted in between these sheets of carbon. On the cathode, you've got a material called lithium cobalt oxide, which has a similar layered structure to graphite, but instead of carbon, it's cobalt dioxide. And then the lithium is in between these sheets.
How does that make the power, though?
So then the cobalt is in a 3+ charge state, and then it can go to the +4. Then the lithium ion then goes across the electrolyte and goes into the graphite. Whilst the electron goes around the external circuit, then they recombine, and that's how you get your electricity.
Oh, right. And so once all the lithium has made that journey, that's when the energy is spent from the battery.
That was in the discharge state, so that was actually charging the battery. And then so then to use it, the reverse process happens. So this is a rechargeable battery. So the lithium ions can then rock back and forth, because now the cobalt 4+ could go to the cobalt 3+ state. Then the lithium goes from the intercalated graphite sheets, goes across the electrolyte into the cobalt dioxide layers. The electron goes around the external circuit. So it was called the rocking chair battery because the lithium rocks back and forth. And you can think of it like a Victoria sponge with the two layers of cake as the sheets of cobalt dioxide with the jam of lithium inside.
I love the analogy. I wouldn't like to eat a battery, though.
No, I wouldn't.
Very toxic things in there.
Yeah, I wouldn't advise it.
Should we build one?
Yeah, so what we make in the lab is called a coin cell battery or a button battery, which is used in a lot of watches, phones, clocks.
This is a little thing. They look a bit like a coin, don't they?
Yeah, exactly. Really? So you've got the stainless steel base. And Chris, you can have
it's
a go
like
at making
a little,
one.
It's a little saucer, isn't
as
it?
As well, exactly. Yep. And so just to prove how easy it is. And then we've got our cathode material, which is lithium cobalt oxide, which we have as just a piece of paper today.
That would sit inside the base, just
exactly.
Against the base.
Exactly. But then you need to have this rubber gasket sat inside the base, because you can't have an electrical contact between the anode and the cathode, or else it'd be a short circuit.
Just a short circuit inside the battery, wouldn't it? Yeah.
Exactly. And so then we have our...
So if I've put my gasket, so I've basically got a little cup, like a stainless steel cup, and I've got my chemical in the bottom that's the lithium cobalt oxide that's going to be one source of the charge. Then I've put a rubber disc in there to separate it. Then what do I put in next?
Because the electrolyte is a liquid electrolyte, we need to have a physical barrier between the anode and the cathode. It's a glass fiber that sits on top of the cathode, and then you would soak it in electrolyte, and then we can place our anode on top, and then we need a stainless steel current collector and to ensure that we have a good electrical contact between our anode and our cathode.
Okay,
and
then, that's another little sort of disc that goes on top of the sandwich.
Exactly. Yep. And then the top of our battery, which is kind of like another saucer, like the base.
And plugs inside.
This coin cell battery, you can think of it as a AA battery or AAA by just rolling your sheets of anode, cathode and electrolyte and then placing it in a cylindrical case.
There you go, Kat. Now you know how the batteries you're using work.
I do get through a lot of batteries. So let's bring in Graham at this point. Now, Fiona's explained how batteries work, but I want to do a bit of myth busting.
Okay.
So, and also a little, I guess, battery hygiene. So, for example, say I get a new phone with a nice new battery in it. What should I do to get the best out of it? Should I just plug it in straight away, charge it right up? How should I treat my batteries?
Well, the battery from the factory is probably delivered with something like a 30% charge. So you're probably going to want to charge it anyway. In actual fact, with a mobile phone, you're talking about something with a single 3.6 nominal voltage cell. And there is no need to charge it. So this is something that you're doing just so that you get a full battery. If you had more than one cell in there, then particularly moving away from lithium ion batteries, say they're nickel metal hydride rechargeable batteries, and that's in a battery pack, you would definitely want to charge the pack to bring all of the cells into full balance. So you're starting with a well-balanced cell. Because if you were to discharge a battery pack, a nickel metal hydride battery pack, then one of those cells probably isn't going to carry as much charge as the others, and that's going to go into a low state of charge before the others and will be driven lower than it should be by the others.
And so tell me a bit about how should we charge batteries. For example, I like to leave my phone charging overnight. Is that a good thing to do? It'll obviously be charged up quite quickly, but then I just leave it. Is that
well,
bad?
Again, here we're talking specifically about a phone battery, and that today is inevitably going to be lithium ion or lithium polymer. And the charger is going to have to look after that battery. If it were to go into overcharge, that becomes dangerous. And so the charger is designed it's a constant current charge. The voltage will increase until it gets to 4.2 volt. And then the charger is going to do one of two things. It's either going to clamp the voltage at 4.2 and you'll see a diminishing current going into the battery to give it the full charge. Or in fact, at that point, it's about 70% charge and the charger is going to cut. If you were to continue to charge the battery beyond its capability, then you start to plate out metallic lithium in the cell. And that's when it becomes inherently dangerous. And that's what, we get the horror stories of lithium.
Okay, so yeah. Best not do
so,
that.
So the charger is looking after it and the charger is going to terminate the charge. So... yes, it's nice to unplug the thing because you think you're not using energy. In actual fact, chargers today will pretty well shut down and you're okay.
And we've had a question from Sybil Chabane who says, is there a difference between charging from the mains and charging, for example, from a USB? She says her phone seems to run down faster from USB. Is there actually a difference?
There isn't a difference. I mean, the USB probably doesn't, in some circumstances, have the ability to give quite as much power to the charge. But generally speaking, the USBs that you have on your computer will charge in roughly the same time.
Yeah. And, so, for example, why is it that, if you have a phone for a while, towards the end of the life of your phone, the battery just doesn't seem to hold as much charge anymore? You have to charge it longer for less and less
joy. The battery's getting tired, isn't it? And
what's going on there?
That's what's happening with a battery. When we talk to designers, it's very important to realize that a battery is not like any other electronic component. It doesn't do exactly what it says on the tin, and you have to look after it, and your impurities are building up within the cell. It's becoming not as effective, and it's inevitable. A battery will not go to the end of its life and then just die. It will slowly fade away.
You're listening to The Naked Scientists with Kat Arney and also with me, Chris Smith, and you're on RN. In just a moment, we'll be hearing about how you can use MOS to power a radio. We're going to try and tune into our own program just using the power of MOS. Chris Howe and Paolo Bombelli are here from the biochemistry department at Cambridge University with an amazing array, it's fair to say, of MOS all wired up in the studio. I wonder how it's going to go.